Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I am delighted to welcome, well, first of all, a very close friend of mine, Andra Bonas, for decades. So let me welcome you, Loretta Brennan-Glutson.
Thank you, Adrian. I was hoping you wouldn't say a number, but I feel like you've been my friends for so long that it's forever.
That wouldn't serve any purpose, actually. What I want to acknowledge is that of all the awards and recognition that you have dutifully and rightly received over the decades, I don't think there is anything more significant than being the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City, the largest in the world. So congratulations again.
Thank you so much. And I have said from the beginning, I remember having this conversation with Onya when no one even knew about it. I had just had the call from, it was January of 17, and they called me to say that I had been nominated. And I saw Onya shortly after that for one of our usual psychological sessions where she makes me feel better and we have a nice time.
That's what it is. Oh, okay.
Adrian, it's purely medicinal.
Okay.
And therapeutic.
Well, it obviously works for both of you.
It does indeed. But anyway, I was so stunned because it's not anything that I ever thought would be within my ken. I never worked at all with the parade and followed the machinations through the years. But what immediately clicked in was my parents in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And they, twice that I know of, because they took me with them, they made a pilgrimage to the parade. This would have been in the 50s.
Yes.
And it was the highlight of their whole year. And I remember so clearly thinking, isn't it wonderful that we as a people have this amazing ongoing celebration of our ethnicity? And not thinking much more of it, but then in January of 2017, it was almost a spiritual, I don't want to get hokey, but it was very impactive to me to think what my parents would think and my cousins in Allentown. I was so humbled and, as the Irish say, gobsmacked. It was totally outside the realm of possibility, and here it was going to happen. So it's been a wild, wonderful experience.
You know, as we now 257 years down the road, when we look at some of the, you know, most distinguished people, when you figure you have to go back a couple of centuries to see the tremendous dedication and the building of, you know, the largest parade in the world. It's beyond the realm of imagination just to capture.
It's also a wonderful indication of the tenacity of the Irish. I'm sure other ethnicities had a parade. In fact, they still do. But nothing on the scale. And first of all, none of them can touch 257 years, for heaven's sake. So it's that innate quality of the Irish that you hunker down, you hold on, and you keep on going. And I am in awe and so humbled by all those people that came before me, certainly, and before us, all those centuries. They had that amazing Irish quality of you don't give up, you don't give in, you keep on going.
I think also that, you know, the we think of St. Patrick's Day as being, you know, a great day of celebration, but we also, if we look back on St. Patrick's Day, in New York, invariably there is some negative aspect again, some may remember when parades were not as well organized as they are now, and in fact, the whole notion of younger people coming in and making a disgrace of the parade itself. We have to look and separate, those who associate this with the great stigma of the Irish is that we know how to party, we know how to drink, we know how to do all of that, and separate that. But it is, it's an amazing parade. It takes a ferocious amount of organization. And when you see the people who have, those who have spent decades,
their whole lives,
and add to that that these are people, many of them have spent their lifetimes in event planning, and it's all voluntary, which is
totally, that's what's so impressive.
It really is.
And I am such a neophyte and only skimming the surface, and I have to emphasize that, but I have gotten a glimpse of the effort and the discipline and the planning that have to go into something on this scale. And they do it. They'll start on March 18th getting ready for the 2019 parade.
Yes.
And it's just so humbling. Again, I can't think of another word, but I am humbled to be just watching these people that have dedicated their lives, and indeed, they are following many times in their parents' footsteps.
Right.
And then in their grandparents and back and back. So it is a wonderful demonstration of not only Irish tenacity, but Irish creativity, determination, and organization.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff doesn't fall out of the sky. You can't just say 2 weeks ahead, okay, here we are. And they don't do that.
Another aspect of it, is that on March 18th, as you plan and as all these great people plan for the following year, maybe a lot of listeners and people in general don't know that it's not just a party that wraps up. It is a tremendous fundraiser, and now an initiative which the parade has undertaken almost exclusively is, to help out and to support the Cardinal's Fund for a Catholic school education. Something that, kind of falls between the cracks because of the of the parade itself and its recognition throughout the world. That's an amazing.
It is such an appropriate cause for the parade to support. First of all, because Cardinal Dolan has been such a wonderful champion of the parade since he's been with us in New York, and his deep belief in the overriding value of Catholic education, and then he has so many good people around him running those amazing schools, and to have that targeted by the parade, people that are interested in the parade, I just think is so appropriate and so beneficial to the wider community.
And of course, this year, dedicated to, as we mentioned, the Catholic school education, but also this is the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, which is another, for many, we have to scratch our heads and say, is that 20 years? Has it been 20 years? And with, fingers crossed and with a lot of dedication, again, from some very good people, the peace process in Northern Ireland, on one hand, for many would say, well, that's a done deal, it's that's finished, let's move on. For others, including your good self, you would know more about the fragility of the peace process than most. It is fragile, and it is not over, and many times it's hanging by just a fingernail.
We've had these conversations through the years, Adrian, and I have benefited from your wisdom. I am more optimistic than perhaps many people, and I don't want to say more optimistic than I should be, because there is nothing that I think George Mitchell cannot and has not and will not do. I'm so blessed to have him as my friend, as my counselor, and he is truly a wise man, and he is still very active, very tuned in, and very aggressive in making sure that both sides, or all sides particularly, that we have to say it more in the plural, because there's such an awful political mishmash in the UK. It's just not anything that anyone with any sensibility, even very experienced in politics, would have predicted could happen. Theresa May winning, Cameron going, and then Theresa May calling for that election, which I still believe will terminate her political career. And there's such a vacuum in Northern Ireland now, huge, huge loss, cannot be overstated, of the passing of Martin McGuinness. Regardless of what your politics are or what your belief is that Martin was engaged in his earlier ages, he was crucial to those negotiations, and no one more credible than George Mitchell will say that. All parties had to come with open hearts, and Martin did that. At what cost to himself, I don't think anyone will ever know. And it was such a cruel blow to have him taken from us so suddenly and at such an early age, because his wisdom is sorely missed. Now, having said that, I know there are still very many good people. I'm not there as much anymore, but I still keep in touch with people that are still not at all contemplating that the Good Friday Agreement is not holding. It will hold, because it must hold. And these good people on both sides of the country will make sure that it does. They have, and this is very subjective and way too personal, but I believe that the women of Northern Ireland will never allow it to go back. They will not allow their sons, their husbands, whoever, to go back to that way of life that was damaged their whole lives before George Mitchell did his blessed work. They're not going back, and I think that's our ace. Not just the women, but thoughtful people in Northern Ireland, and hopefully in the Republic, that are not using this as a political advantage. It's way, way past politics. It's the people of our beloved country. They have it right now, and they're not going to give it back.
Loretta, I'm sure, and we look forward to speaking with you on St. Patrick's Day itself.
Remember all the years I would sneak into your studio when everyone in the whole city was there, all the great and the good. I had so many fun times and learned so much. So I will be very happy to talk to you on Patrick's Day.
Let me Let me ask you, though, about the year that's in it. Obviously, being the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade is huge. But there's another event, one that is equally significant. If we have...
Oh, Ireland House.
Ireland House.
Oh, thank you, Adrian. I'm so happy you brought that up.
Well, I'm definitely bringing it up. but if we have, if some of us have to wonder where the 20 years went...
25.
But the 20 years of
the Good Friday. Yeah.
Then we definitely have to shake ourselves to say, is it really a quarter of a century since the establishment of Glucksman Ireland House at NYU? And it is. It's amazing. But I would like, before we get to the 25th anniversary event, which is coming up on Tuesday, February 27th, let me ask you about a period leading up to the establishment of Glucksman Ireland House, of course, founded by yourself and, of course, your husband, the late Lou Glucksman. How long was, what was happening at the kitchen table in the Glucksman household leading up to this?
Well, it's one of my favorite stories, as you know, because you were a dear friend to Lou. Lou was a Hungarian Jew, had no Irish ethnicity, but Ireland was his most beloved country, second only to the United States, and he grew to love Ireland as a young Navy officer in World War II. He loved Irish writers, so when he would get a furlough, he was assigned to the North Atlantic, and he would go to Ireland and made what he called his pilgrimages to the places where the Irish writers lived and worked. And not only did he savor the history of his writers, but he grew to know the country like a native. He knew every part of Ireland. So I am third generation Irish American, and I had never been. And I met Lou in 1983, and in 1984, he took me to Ireland for the very first time. And it was life-altering, first of all, to be introduced to my beloved country by my beloved husband, who knew it just like the back of his hand. And it was just such a life enhancer and life changer. And Lou was very active on the board of NYU at that time. He was a trustee, very loyal and loved that university. And he talked to Jay Oliva, who was president at the time, who had the great good blessing of having an Irish mother. And they decided that there was a need to look at the potential of having a Center for Irish Studies at NYU. NYU has always been very, very proud of being the school for the children of immigrants in New York. And there's a Spanish house, a French house, a German house, a Greek house. Lots of ethnicities have raised their flags at NYU and flourished. And Lou said, where's the Ireland House? And fortunately, as I said, Jay had some Irish ethnicity, but he was also just very smart. And we went to Ireland in 1986 for the first time to see if there would be any interest in reciprocity in, you know, academic exchanges. Right. And, of course, there was great interest, and everyone welcomed us so much, and it was just a fabulous adventure. And that's what started it. And then it took a while, as things do. And we finally bought the two little buildings at the bottom of Fifth Avenue. They were faculty housing for NYU. So Lou bought them, and then we refurbished them, made them into one dwelling. And it's the tiniest place of all the ethnic houses. Most of them are quite grand. Ours is Irish. And when people go in, particularly people from Ireland, they say they feel it. They feel that it's an Irish place.
It is.
And it's just a wacky stairway when you go in. And I wouldn't let them change that.
Yes.
They wanted to make it a straight stairway. I said, no. So it's...
But you're talking about really, two luxurious or two townhouses in the most historic part of New York City combined to make, what we have now grown to know and love as, Glucksman Ireland House. Also, it might be well to point out that in the greatest city in the world with the greatest Irish affiliation with Ireland, New York City did not have a center for Irish studies. As a matter of fact, it didn't have a profile, number one.
Any distinguished people came over, it was which pub would they go to?
Right.
And I am the first to defend the Irish pubs. They are the backbone of our community. And they do wonderful work, everyone that I know. But there was a certain gravitas, perhaps, missing.
Yes.
And particularly when it was an academic person or a person like the Taoiseach of Ireland.
Right.
You shouldn't be bringing them around for the first thing, maybe after the speeches. But for the first, it needed a bit more sit-up-straight kind of aspect. And that's what we thought, and turns out that everybody agreed, that's what Ireland House represented.
Yes.
And NYU.
And in the absence of what was considered to be more of a cultural center than an academic center, the Irish Institute, was the meeting place. It was the precursor, of course, to Glucksman Ireland House.
And
that the time had come when that could no longer be utilized. There were many changes, there were many...
But they were our first supporter, Adrian. Kevin Morrissey, I think?
Yes.
They gave us our first grant, and it was the difference between going forward and not. This was in 1992, probably, and the Irish Institute stepped up. We were so stunned. None of us ever expected any funding from anywhere else, except hopefully within the university and from Lou. And when Kevin and his board stepped up, that was miraculous. And that's when I knew it was going to happen. And now, if I may, point of personal privilege, as all my friends in the Ireland Fund tease me about, the incoming president of the Irish Institute is one Eileen Flannery, correct?
Absolutely. And,
and she is just a dynamo.
It's great, and we're very proud of her. But we're also, of course, very conscious that, again, as with the, as we were mentioning earlier about the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the stalwarts who have been there all through the decades.
They have been just invaluable. I can't put a high enough value on the value of the Irish Institute and others, but the Institute was the main driver.
Let me ask you, I won't ask you what happened to the 25 years because I don't know myself what happened.
Nor do I.
But the growth of Glucksman Ireland House through the years, perhaps something that I'm extraordinarily aware of and very proud of is the fact that oral archives...
Mm.
That was just not, something that was taught about.
Within families, though. Never wider. Never within institutions.
And that, our very good friend and the Dr. Miriam Nyhan, that she and others, obviously, within Glucksman Ireland House, had the foresight and the determination to go out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, command performance. They actually had to go to various neighborhoods
and convince people.
And convince people mm-hmm. that this was
valuable.
Very
and it wasn't a put on somehow.
Yeah.
Well, I so agree, Adrian. And Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray and Dr. Marion Casey are the two stalwarts that have kept that so on track through all these years, and they're so respected within their field. But also, if I may, our first director, fabulous man called Bob Scally,
yes.
And he set us on the track, and he gave us authenticity, because Bob is a very respected historian. And so he got us in the door of the academicians, and so went along, and then when Bob retired, God smiled, and we got Joe Lee,
mm-hmm.
Who came over to us directly from UCC. And Joe, this is not subjective, he is one of the most respected historians in any country, of any
yes.
country. And he came in to take over from Bob Scally, and he just lit a comet under the place, and it benefited for all those years. And we had to let him go eventually, so we just did, just a couple months ago actually, and Joe is back in the long room at Trinity College finishing up his invaluable personal work, which the world needs more and more every day. And we are in the middle of a search, an international search, for the next academic director. In the meantime, Miriam, and all those fabulous people at the house are keeping an even keel and educating kids and taking dozens and dozens of master's students, and it's just fabulous.
That master's program has been hailed not just by NYU as well as NYU should be proud of it, but it has such tremendous recognition and warrants such praise. I would say perhaps the most lauded or the most laudatory comments come from Ireland, to think that we are now talking about a master's program for NYU at Glucksman Ireland House. It's amazing.
It is mind-boggling, and it is, Miriam drives that right now,
yes.
Miriam Nyhan, who has a window on the world, thanks to you. She has the broadcast every Saturday and keeps all your loyal and savvy readers or listeners up to speed. So we're very grateful we have had her in place, and she is running the place with a very firm hand while we have the search. We're also very lucky that in the interim, as an acting director,
yes.
we have Dr. Hazia Diner, who is another huge
amazing person.
Isn't she fabulous?
Yeah.
And of course, I loved from the very beginning. I loved the name Glucksman Ireland House. You know, it's a double
right.
take a little bit. And Hazia Diner is a very, very respected erudite Judaic scholar, and she has run the Center for Judaic Studies at NYU, which is one of our absolute jewels in the crown. And she loved Joe Lee. She taught with Joe. Yeah. And when we had no clue. We just said, would you ever consider this, Hazia? Just some of us on our advisory board, yeah. Ted Smith, Marion, Miriam. And she said, I'd love to. And she has been phenomenal. She's very present and still running her own program. And is chairing the International Search Committee. So God smiles again and again on that little place, and I am so deeply grateful to Hazia.
It also, of course, how very aptly ties in, you know, the Jewish and Irish traditions from, you know, sometimes you have to wait for 25 years for that time. and actually, that's tongue-in-cheek, because there has been a tremendous marrying of ethnics, again, excusing the pun, but the Jewish influence, the Jewish stories, are so similar.
And you know, I think I've told you years ago that Lou and I never argued, and the only argument we ever had that didn't go away was which of our cultures was the better at instilling guilt.
Yeah.
And that was a draw, and I still have fun thinking about that. But the fact that we are here after 25 years looking for another rock star to come in and direct the program at Ireland House. Also, Adrian, for our 25th year, because we're planning, those geniuses at Ireland House are planning an amazing program through the whole year.
Yeah.
And the theme is Mick Maloney's wonderful collection, If It Weren't for the Irish and the Jews.
And the Jews, yes.
And that's our theme. And God, is it fun. And we're following it wherever we can, and it's taking us in amazing different directions.
This event on the 27th of February.
Yes.
First of all, it will be held at the Kennel Center at NYU for university life. And it is located on Thompson Street in New York, right in the heart of NYU there.
It's on Washington Square South.
Glaxman Ireland House. But 6 years ago, with the phenomenal growth of and the academic advances provided by Glaxman Ireland House, it became obvious that that funding and that benefactors and that support would be needed to continue, that's obviously translates to not only this year, but going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's great having all of the, the earth-shattering advantages of Glaxman Ireland House, NYU, but it also requires a lot of funding. And somehow, many benefactors would say or would think that with the founders, Lou and yourself, with their amazing gift, that must be on automatic. It must run itself.
Mm-mm.
And nothing could be further from the truth.
You never are finished fundraising. Anyone that works with any project will tell you that. But from the very beginning, we were blessed with a group of people who so believed in this concept and this wacky idea. And they're our advisory board. And the majority of them that were with us in 93, indeed 92, are still with us. Just so valuable, Pete Hamill. He's still with us. Peter Quinn, our current chairman, Judith McGuire, one of our master's students, Ted Smith, is on the board and is coming in as chairman when Judith's term is over. I'm going to leave someone out, which is odious. George Daugherty has been with us. Trish Hardy from Irish American Magazine.
Yes.
Just giants in our community saw the value or the intrigue in this 25 years ago, and they're still with us. And that you cannot put any sort of value on, in my mind.
Your annual gala is it's highly entertaining. It's a wonderful evening.
It's the Huli.
It is a gala. And the Lou Glucksmann Leadership Award.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Award for leadership. That has indeed been bestowed on some
great people.
Great people. You mentioned Pete Hamill. Obviously yourself, and that has you were very awkward during that period because you kind
awkward.
Of fought that tooth and nail. But if we take Ted Smith, Colin McCann, mm-hmm. Neil O'Dowd, Buzzy O'Keefe, Sir James Galway
mm-hmm.
Last year, and this is actually this is in its now sixth year, and you've this year again by having your awardees.
This is
terrific.
This is the frosting on the cake for me, because early on in the first gala, we established two awards. One was the Seamus Heaney Award
right.
in Arts and Letters, and the other was the Lou Glucksmann Award in Leadership. And this year, we are blessed to have Mari Heaney coming over from Ireland to present the Seamus Heaney Award to Paul Muldoon, the fabulous poet and dear, dear friend of Mari's and Seamus's. And I have the privilege of presenting the Lou Glucksmann Award to Carl Shanahan, who is another one that has been with us from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Born in Brough, County Limerick, came out to the United States some years ago. We don't like to put a number on it. Carl and I are very similar in age. And he came out with not a nickel and is now one of the most successful contractors in office cleaning, in high-tech wiring. I mean, he's just an amazing person. So
and that's only a little of it.
That's only a little. And he loves a good Irish party.
Yes.
So it's going to be a huge celebration for us on the 27th.
Let me maybe some listeners wouldn't recognize the significance, of having Mari Heaney here. What a great truth. What a great.
She is a fabulous person. I have admired her since I met her, which was maybe 2 months after I met Seamus. So the better part of 25 years. And she is just such an important person, not only to her amazing, fabulous family, but to Ireland and indeed to the world. She is no nonsense, no bells and whistles, just the real deal.
Now, we had mentioned, of course, Dr. Marion Mihan and indeed Marion Casey mm-hmm. as they're actually two women I wouldn't want to have after me at the same time. Maybe one of them I could handle.
Oh, no. I don't think you could handle one of them.
But they are very much, and Marion is heading up the event for this year. And I'm fairly sure that Miriam, should she be listening to us, well, that's all very well. When are you actually going to come in for the kill and tell people about the gala and how...
You're a pro. You would get to that. She knows that.
But it is. This is the year. It's 25 years. And it is again taking place at the Kendall Center at the University at NYU. The address is 238 Thompson Street in New York City. And let me give you information, pertinent information. You can find out actually...
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you can find out information at ireland.gala@nyu.edu. That is, or the telephone number, and I suggest actually that you go to get on the phone, and that's the most direct way to make your reservations and find out more about Glucksman Ireland House. That phone number is 212-998-3950. The guest of honor, Pulitzer Prize winning poet Paul Muldoon, and the entrepreneur extraordinaire Carol Shanahan. It is the 6th annual Glucksman Ireland House dinner, and again with presentations of the Seamus Heaney Award and also of course the Glucksman Award for leadership. It's going to be a great evening.
And also thank you so much for that, Adrian. You're just so good at what you do. And also we're going to have the fabulous Mick Maloney play music for us that night, and no one needs to be told how valuable Mick is. And as I
Amazing.
Said...
What a legacy, if I may.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, Mick Maloney, when there was very little attention... again being paid to the legacy of music, as Glucksman Ireland House and as Miriam and Marion Casey and those who were involved in getting the old archives together, Mick Maloney actually, you know, many would say, oh, everything changed with the Clancy Brothers, everything changed with the Wolf Tones, or Mick Maloney changed.
Been there.
And documented the history
and
of,
built upon
and absolutely the and he was somebody at the time who did this. Well, first of all, he took his doctorate as a musicologist, but also he took and created archives and shone a light on archives that we absolutely would have lost.
No, you cannot overestimate Mick's importance and how blessed and fortunate we are that he is so loyal to Glucksman Ireland House.
Loretta Brennan Glucksman, again, if only if you wouldn't mind St. Patrick's Day, the Grand Marshal could direct that down. Could we interrupt the parade at some point? Congratulations on, again, being the Grand Marshal, but also congratulations on this very, very special year, this gala coming up again on February 27th. It's Glucksman Ireland House 2018, 25th anniversary. The telephone number 212-998-3950, or you can link on to ireland.gala@nyu.edu, or you can link on to irishradio.com, and we will definitely get you the information. And we sincerely invite you to what is going to be a very special event, and a very special guest, a very special lady, and a very special great friend, personally and many, indeed, throughout the decades. Loretta Brennan-Luxman, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.